I just I had shared on a Wednesday night about early on in this COVID-19 crisis, lockdown, stay at home, no church in the on the church property, I was it was a Wednesday night, and we talked about Romans chapter 8, and we talked about God working all things out for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. And so, and as I was sharing that with you, I asked the question: Is in these next few weeks, will you be squeezed? And when you're squeezed, what will come out of you? Lord, I know that you don't need a crisis like this for you to be squeezed, because we get squeezed every single day of our lives, some form or fashion. But this has been a major squeeze. You've often heard from me to say something like this: when you squeeze a sponge, what comes out of it? Well, whatever is in it. I mean, it could be pure water if you squeeze that sponge. Or it could be spilt milk, or it could be dirty water, or it could be just soapy water. Just whatever's in it, you squeeze it, it comes out. And I just asked the question in that time, will you be squeezed? Well, I tell you what, I just didn't understand really the depth of that for my own soul, because I've been squeezed. There's been 3-4 times of just a significant bout of some things coming out of my heart and out of my mouth that was just a struggle for me. As I said early in the opening moments of this service, that just were ashamed of my response. Have you ever been that way? Have you ever been squeezed that something came out of your life that you knew you didn't think might have been there at that moment? But I'm going to tell you, whatever comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. That's just the bottom line. And yeah, I part of the message today is just to talk a little bit about just the how the enemy works. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about a struggle, a fight. And he's saying to put on the full armor of God, verse 11, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh, it's not against blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let me tell you, you've got an enemy. That enemy is called Satan, the devil. That enemy can be called the destroyer. He's been called the accuser of the brethren. He's been called the tempter, the buffeter, the adversary, the devil, the roaring lion, the liar, the deceiver. And let me just tell you, he hates you. He hates you. He hates people. He hates God. He hates his creation. He hates you. And the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. And then Jesus will say, but I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Listen, there is an enemy. There is a devil. There is Satan. There are rulers. There are demonic forces. There are strategies. He says this here. We're to put the full armor of God on so that we may be able to stand firm against the schemes, the schematics of the enemy. And I want to tell you, he's got you and me figured out. He's got you and me figured out, and he knows exactly how to get to you. He knows exactly how to tempt you. He knows your history. He knows your wounds. He knows your hurts. He knows your struggles. He knows your propensities. He knows your family's propensities. He knows your kids' propensities. And I tell you, this guy, this created being, this devil comes after you and after you and after you. And the Bible says we're to take up the full armor of God. Now, I'm not here to do a message totally on the full armor of God. But I just want you to notice, for future reference, that you are to stand firm, he says. I mean, he said it for the second time. You put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. And then he says, you take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Okay, he says, listen, to stand firm. And then he goes and he says, therefore, verse 14, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, watch, take up the shield of faith so that you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now notice verse 16. In addition to all, you take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Arrows, shots, missiles, darts, one by one. I mean, the enemy comes and slings, points his arrow with his bow, pulls back, and targets your mind, targets your heart, targets your life. And when I think about the darts and the arrows of the enemy, let me just tell you what comes to mind. The words of the enemy. That's pretty much what they are. Now, you have trials in this life. You have struggles in this fallen world. We all have them. And we're all going through a struggle. But let me just tell you this. The enemy can't do anything to you without God's permission, number one. He can't do anything. He can't touch you. He can't do anything. But let me just tell you, he will throw the flaming missile, the flaming arrow of his arsenal at you. And he'll do it. And you'll go through through moments of being squeezed. And I'm not saying that the squeeze is from the enemy. I mean, it's just from your own flesh. But the darts and the words of the enemy will fly at your heart, will fly at your mind, will fly at your thinking. And I just think about their words. I just call them one-liner words from hell. That's what they are. One-liner words. One arrow, and it may be a word or it may be just a phrase that comes. Words like loser, sinner, unworthy, guilty. You don't deserve that. Well, actually, you deserve that. You have every right to be angry. Words like it's too late for you. You've crossed the line and you're damned to hell. You're mine. Words like, you'll never get rid of that habit, that addiction. You'll never change. He'll never change. She'll never change. Your marriage will never change. Your son will never change. Your daughter will never change. Or things like, you'll never measure up. God doesn't care about you. You're not loved. You're not valued. Let me give you something to worry about. Hey, fear this, fear that. Be anxious for this, be anxious for that. That person doesn't love you. She doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. You'll never be enough. Matter of fact, it'll never be enough for God. It'll never be enough for people. Words of guilt, words of shame. Look what you did 40 years ago. Look what you did 20 years ago. Look what you did 10 years ago. Look what you did yesterday. One-liners. From hell. Arrows, flaming arrows that stick deep. Times when you're hurt, times when you get angry, times when you walk in bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. How often have you been squeezed and the arrow of some kind of temptation from the enemy has come and has dug deep into your heart? You know, I think about the last few weeks, and you've heard me talk about this. Some of you have heard me talk about it personally, but I'm just telling you, I've been squeezed. And in one situation, frustration, disappointment, irritation, anger came out of me. The second time, lots of anger came out of me. The third time, pride, arrogance, entitlement, those kinds of things. Tempted by the enemy. And I just want to tell you what he says you need to do when you get one-liners from hell. But by the way, these are a primitive set of bow and arrow made by Kent Battenfield. I don't know if he did the arrowhead or not, but it's pretty cool, brother. Thanks for allowing me to use it today. But the arrow that pierced your heart, the hurt that came, the disappointment, Maybe there was some unanswered prayer in your life. And it just wasn't answered the way you thought it would be. And then the arrow came and pierced your heart from the enemy that said, see, God's not powerful. God doesn't care about you, doesn't care about your loved one, doesn't care about your mama, your son, your daughter. Words from hell. One word, one-liners that come from hell. And what are we to do? Well, the Bible says we are to take up the shield of faith. So that the faith is the shield that guards our heart. And he says the helmet of salvation, the helmet that guards our mind, the helmet of salvation, the words of salvation, the salvation and deliverance power of God. We take up the shield of faith. That's what we do. We believe in the promises of God. Let me tell you like this. We believe not in the one-liners from hell, but the one-liners from heaven. And this Bible is filled with the one-liners from heaven. They are huge. And we're to receive them and we're to speak them so that we have our own arsenal. We have our own arrows. We have our own darts. We have our sword and our bow and our arrow. That we have the same kind of power, and even more power than the enemy could ever dream of. Because of who Jesus is. What do? We take up the shield of faith. The Bible says that these arrows are not just plain arrows. They are flaming missiles. They are flaming arrows that get into your heart. And I mean, they do damage if you let it. The Bible says, listen, you have faith. And it's a shield of faith. So that when the enemy comes, you believe in the word. Romans 10:17 says that this faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why we are a people of the word. That's why I have to be in the word every single day of my life. That's why I have to be saturated with it. That's why I have to consume it. That's why I have to move through it and lean into it, even when it's hard for me to be in the word. Because the word brings life. God uses the word of God to bring the one-liners from heaven. The one-liners from heaven that come and flood my soul. Let me ask you this question. Are you in Christ? Well, then let me just tell you, you're loved. That's a one-liner from heaven. God loves you. You're valued, loved by God, loved by your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are valued of God. You are forgiven. You are understood. You're safe in Christ. One-liners from heaven. You're alive in Christ. One-liner from heaven. You're the church of the living God. You're living stones being built up by God. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You're sons and daughters of the living God, the loving God, the blessed God, the Father, your Abba. You are full of love and you are full of joy and you're full of peace because the Spirit of God lives in you and that's His fruit. You're equipped and you're armed to the hilt to face anything, the enemy, any trial, any negative, destructive word or deed that the enemy might shoot at you. Words like, I'm going to finish what I've started. I'm going to conform you into the image of Jesus. Wonderful words of life. One-liners from heaven. Let me ask you the question, what word are you listening to? Are you listening to the words from hell and the enemy? Or are you listening to the words of God, the words of heaven? The words that bring life, the words that restore, the words that rejoice the heart, that make you wise, that enlighten your eyes, the words of heaven that come down, one-liners, that God comes with his arrow and pierces my heart with, that does an awesome, mighty work because I hear it and I believe it. And I want to study it and I want more of it. You know, I was thinking this morning when I woke up, had everything prepared, and I had sent the notes off, and I thought of some other one-liners. In Ephesians chapter 33:14, God said to Moses, my presence will go with you and give you peace. And isn't that a great one line from heaven? My presence is going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. You follow me. And listen, I'll follow you. I'll come from behind. As the Old Testament writer Isaiah said, he'll guard you from behind. He'll guard you in front and on your side. He'll be above you. Listen, my presence will go with you and give you rest. Now, it's just the first time you hearing that word. It may be the very first time, but you've heard it just now. And it's an arrow. It's a flash word that comes in a moment that says, listen, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to give you the peace of God wherever you go. One liner from heaven. Moses said something that was really interesting in that passage. He said, oh God, please let it be, because how else will we be known? Aren't we known by your presence going with us that distinguishes us from the rest of the world? Listen, church, another one-liner. The presence and peace of God distinguishes you and me from the rest of the world, because we don't respond like the rest of the world does. We don't listen to the one-liners from heaven, hell. We listen and we walk according to the one-liners from heaven. Short, pithy words from God that pierce the soul and the heart for the good, that sanctify you, that washes you. I think about 2 Chronicles 20:17, when the horde is coming against them. We preached a little bit about this a few weeks ago. Words like, it's not your fight. The battle belongs to the Lord. Arrows, words from one-liners from heaven, words of life. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord is with you. Things that come from Jesus' mouth. Don't be afraid any longer. Only believe. One-liners. Listen, just short words that have great impact. Matthew 9:5 says, your sins are forgiven. Wow. You need to hear that today. Your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. Get up and start walking after God. One-liners from heaven. Hey, I love Psalm 23. Just go there right now really quick. Psalm 23, I know it's familiar. But listen, if you break them all down to the arrows of God and the one-liners from God, I want to tell you, you can just quote one all day and find peace in life. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. One-liner from heaven, folks. The Lord's my shepherd, the shepherd that's always with me. I think about, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. All day long I can meditate on that. All day long I can receive that. Listen, a one-liner from heaven, and you know, you've got about 10 of them. I mean, you've got 10 of them here. He restores my soul. You don't restore my soul. You don't restore my soul. Money doesn't restore my soul. Safety in this world doesn't restore my soul. You restore my soul. You are the lover of my soul. You guide me in paths of righteousness. Listen, no one else in this life can guide you in the right way except God's people and the Word of God, based on the Word of God. Nothing else can guide you. Nothing else can lead you to life. I don't know why we think that everything else in this life is going to bring us life when all those things are just sometimes just even one-liners from hell. All God wants to do is to give you what He's already promised to give you, that you can walk in and that you can live in. He'll guide you in paths of righteousness. He'll show you the right way. And even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil. You're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, my God prepares a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. I get a feast in the midst of my enemies. My God anoints my head with oil. My cup's overflowing. Listen to this one-liner. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Live on that word. Live on these words. These one-liners from heaven. They're flash words. You think about flash cards, right? You know, when I was in seminary, I had to learn Greek. And I'm glad I learned a little Greek. And I had flashcards. And I put just one word just to memorize it. I was taught early on in my walk to put scripture on flashcards, carry it around with me, to memorize it, to put it in my heart. Later on, when the post-it note came, people posted on their mirrors, refrigerator verses, flashcards, words, wonderful words of life, the one-liners from heaven. Let me ask you, what are your one-liners from heaven? What are those things that God comes to you, and I mean, he just speaks to you, and they're yours. I mean, they're yours. Oh, they could be a million more peoples in this world, because that's how the Word of God is. But God came and he spoke it over you, and you received it. One-liners from heaven. And I just want to say this. As you think about one-liners from heaven and one-liners from hell, what are the one-liners you speak today? What are the one-liners you give today? Are they one-liners of heaven, or are they one-liners of hell? Because I want to tell you this, a lot of times, even though our struggle's not against flesh and blood, a lot of times we hear these one-liners from other people. And they fashion us and they form us. And you might have been spoken to by an ungodly dad or mom when you were early, and you're still living on that word. One-liners, not from God. What are you talking about? What are you speaking? What is coming out of your mouth? What is it? Is it frustration, impatience? What is it? What is it when you're squeezed? What's coming out? You know, a number of years ago, in a series on the Lord's Prayer, I think it's been about 6-7 years ago, I caught this principle of flash praying, arrow praying. I'm just choosing to call them one-liners. And it flooded my soul. You know, we've been talking about this prayer and fasting season that ends on the 30th. Prayer and fasting. And a lot of times we think that our prayers have to be long. I got to pray an hour to be blessed by God. Pray an hour and you're going to find supernatural things happen. You know what I believe? Just pray the word and watch supernatural things happen. Just speak the word. We like to put it all in a box sometimes. About the prayer life has to be like this, and so we write a book about it. Listen, there's no right, wrong way when you're seeking God with all your heart, according to the Word of God. And I think about flash words, one-liners, but what about one-liner prayers that have meant so much to you? I can't tell you how many times that I've been in a home or a counseling session that it wasn't all about the long prayer I prayed, it was the one thing I said. Or the one thing I prayed. Or how might I have taught you to pray in some circumstances. I remember years and years ago, a godly, saintly woman of our church was really struggling. And I was in their home and they were struggling with chaos and there was no peace. And I just led her in a short prayer. And I said to her, just open your palms up. And just say to God, in the name of Jesus, I receive your peace. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it transformed her. A one-liner prayer. Lord, I receive your peace. We were done. No more counseling. One line. Didn't need all my counseling or all this. All she needed was a one-liner. A one-liner prayer that would touch the heart of God. You want to talk about an arrow touching the heart of God? A missile? Touch the heart of God. You know, and I didn't think about that. It was just something that God gave me in the moment. And I can't tell you how many times I've walked and just said, oh God, I receive your peace. That flash, arrow, one-liner prayer. And I want to tell you this, the scripture is laced with them. They're laced with them. Even the long discourses have flash words. Just those one-liners amongst the discourse. I want you just to just stroll with me through Scripture for just a moment. And think about these one-liners. The thief on the cross. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. One line. Not begging God. Not just praying meaningless words over and over and over. One line. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then remember the line to return. The one-liner from heaven. Today you'll be with me in paradise. You're secure in me. We'll be together in just a few moments. And we'll be together forever. A dad whose son is demonized. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. He didn't have to run off to some private place for 5 hours to find peace. He got it right there. He got it right there. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I mean, that's one of the most honest one-liners of all Scripture. I believe you, Lord, but I've got some problems going on, and I'm having a problem with unbelief, even though I believe you. What a great one-liner. Peter sinking in the sea. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. In the spontaneous moment when I'm troubled or when things are happening, I mean, that's a pretty good cry out. Lord, save me. Lord, deliver me. A repentant tax collector, be merciful to me, the sinner. One line prayer. An arrow prayer, a flash prayer. Be merciful to me, the sinner. A blind man in Luke 18:44. I want to regain my sight. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? Sometimes, most of the time, these one-liners, they say it all. I love the prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4:10. These little one-liners, bless me indeed. Enlarge my border. May your hand be with me. Keep me from harm. A leper, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What's the reply? The one-liner from heaven. I'm willing. Be clean. Paul, remove this thorn. Jesus in John 11:39, remove the stone. Jesus in the midst of the sea, in the midst of the sea, hush, be still. Peter in Acts 9:40, Tabitha, arise. Wow. Just arise. A one-liner. The power of a one-liner from the heart. From the heart of heaven to the heart of a man and a woman, a boy and a girl, to God, back to God. They're powerful, folks. Moses, after God told him, my presence will go with you and I'll give you peace, Moses had the audacity. He had the wisdom, the foresight to ask, God, show me your glory. What a great one-liner. What a great one-line prayer. Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory for my life, for my marriage, for our church, for these circumstances that we're in today. Show me your glory. One-liners toward heaven. The moments of my life. The moments of indecision. The moments that I've got to decide. What are yours? What are your one-liner prayers? Those bullet prayers. Those flash prayers. Those arrow prayers. What are they? You know, I've got some very typical ones. Satisfy me with you in your presence, Lord. Above all else, may I be led by your Spirit. What about this one? You're Lord. Now, don't everybody ask me why I'm coughing, okay? This is the first time I've coughed. Last time I did this, everybody called and asked, well, okay, I am okay, okay? I promise you. You're Lord. Statements like, oh God, may I love well right now, right here. Statements, oh God, may I be grateful right now, right here. The one-liners that we've prayed for our church. Lord, would you send the hungry who just want to move on with you? Would you send the hurting? Flash prayers to God. Arrows in our hands. I prayed that one-liner prayers for my marriage. Lord, may we think about like. May we walk in oneness. You ever had that prayer as a husband and wife? May we think alike? I remember the first time I prayed this. We had gone through a struggle, some struggles early on, and the thought was, we just don't think alike. So I got my journal one day, and I started praying, listening to some one-liners, and I wrote it down. Lord, I pray that Johnny and I think alike. About 6 months later, she goes, we were talking about something. She said, I can't believe how much we're thinking alike. And I went and got my journal, and I opened it up, and said, I've been praying for it. She said, well, keep praying for it. You bet. The one-liners that God comes and answers. The declarations that we make, the confessions that we make. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things have become new. My new nature, it's divine. I have love. I have joy. One-liners. I have peace. I have patience. Goodness. One-liners. Man, I love well. One-liners like, oh God, for my children, may you fulfill the meaning of their names. Because their names have powerful meaning. Things like, heal me, save me, have mercy upon me. I receive your peace, deliver me. You know, I just want to close with this thought about these one-liners from heaven. I find myself oftentimes walking into situations where I'll just say, God, grant me favor with these people. And that's a great one-liner. Grant me favor. But I'm going to say this real quick. If I want favor from somebody, I better show favor. If I want grace from somebody, I need to be showing grace, okay? Very important. The things that I'm asking, I want, and I'm asking God to do, I've got to be willing to do that myself for people. Years ago, when we first adopted the Honey and got to know our friend Mike Stroop, I was invited to go to Hong Kong and to speak at a missionary conference for singles. And so I had my messages ready, and I got to Fort Worth and got ready to get on my plane, but there was a lightning storm, and so the plane was delayed. I got to Los Angeles for a Cathay Pacific flight, and I guess I got there late. I don't know, but just I wasn't there. I wasn't on the flight. And there were people, other people who got there late, and they were just upset, and they were speaking rudely and all of that. And so when I walked up and they said, you're not on this flight, I immediately said, oh God, grant me favor today with these people. Just grant me favor. I know this isn't a life or death situation. It's just about getting to Hong Kong. That's all it was. And so he sent me over to a lady. I remember her name to this day. Her name was Joan. Very stoic, probably stoic woman, Asian woman, very matter of fact. And so she starts taking me to these different airlines that they partner with to see if there's any room. And I'm going to tell you, there's no room on anything. And I, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks before, I'd injured my heels, both my heels. For 3 days, I couldn't walk on them. And so I had, so I was still hurting. Those heels were still hurting. And so I was following her from place to place and could not find a flight out. And so we were walking back, and I'm limping. I'm just limping. And she says to me, first move of any kind of emotion that came from this woman. And she said, I'm sorry that we didn't get you to Hong Kong. And I said, Miss Joan, she had the name tag, Miss Joan, it's okay. I just appreciate you doing everything you could to get me there. She said, you need to get there tonight? I said, yeah, I really need to get on this flight. She said, follow me. She ran to the ticket counter. she got one of those electronical, you know, ticket things and said, follow me, we're going to gate one. And I thought, oh, I hope gate one is first. And gate one was not first. And then she's running. She's got her little walkie-talkie, and she's talking. And I've got my bags because I refuse to check them. And I'm just walking after her. And she is just, I mean, she is 40, 50 yards ahead of me. And she's like, she's running hard. And I get on those movable sidewalks, you know. And I'm just sweating. And my heels are hurting. And then I get there. They're all loaded. And she says, wait right here. And so I wait right there. And then I walk. She says, follow me down. And she says, there's one place left. And I said, what are you doing? She said, well, sometimes this is a connecting flight. And sometimes people didn't get on it that we don't know about. And she says, we got one flight and we got it in business class. And so as I walk in and she walks out of the plane, I remember, one of the big things was when I got here, my name's not on the list. So I said, I tore off my itinerary and said, will you make sure that I'm on my flight back? And she said, absolutely. So I get in first class, and I thought, oh God, you showed me favor. A flash prayer in a moment, and you showed me favor. And I got on my trip. Got there early, and so the missionary that was supposed to pick me up was still an hour, 2 hours away. And so I went up to the ticket counter, and I gave my my ticket, and I said, "Hey, can you make sure I'm on this flight?" And she goes, "You know," she starts looking. She goes, "You're not on this flight." "Oh, there you are. There you are. You're on this flight." And I said, "Well, could you just can you just sign me a seat right now?" "Sure, I'll sign you a seat." Well, I don't know if you know anything about me back then, even now. I'm a stressful traveler, okay? I just am getting in and getting out. I am. And so finally did my trip and then came back. Amen. Look at these guys said amen. So I get back to the airport to go home. Great meeting. Fantastic meeting. And I put my ticket up and she goes, you know how they do? "You're not on this flight." I went, "Well, will you check seat 23A? "Oh, there you are. You're on this flight. Get on." I walk through customs. I do all that stuff that I'm supposed to do. And I get to the waiting area, the lounge, and I wait. And they finally start loading. And I get up and I give the lady my ticket. And the ticket goes in and it beeps. Beep, 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 beep. And I think, oh, no, I'm not on the flight. And, you know, I don't know how you know some of those Asian folks are. They say, "Give me that." You know, she's not being rude. She is. That's how they do. "Give me that." She scratches off, and she upgrades me to business class. And I get on that flight, and I get in that business class, and God knocks on me. He said, "Do you remember that brief prayer you prayed? Grant me favor with these people. I've granted you favor with these people." And enjoyed that trip, that 12, 13-hour trip in business class, because God answered a prayer like that. You know, I think it's one of my most favorite things to pray, and it's always spontaneous. "God, grant me favor. Grant me favor in your presence. Grant me favor. Grant me grace with my staff, with my elders. Grant me favor in this meeting." And you know, it's not so much about things going smooth for you. It's just, I want the favor of God. And God is so generous to give and respond to just the one-liner, the one-liner prayers, the one-liner words, the one-liner words that you've heard all your life. I know I told you I was going to close, but I got to tell you this. Some of you have heard this before. But my mom had a really great word for me that I always received. "Mikey," don't call me Mikey, okay? "Mikey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." In every form and fashion, she taught me it's going to be okay. One word, a one-liner from heaven. Because I want to tell you this. If you're in Christ, it's going to be okay. If you're in Christ, I'm going to give you my favor. If you're in Christ, I'm going to do what I promised to do. I'm gonna bring you to the other side of a trial, of a difficulty, of this season. I'm gonna bring you to the other side. And one day I'm gonna bring you to the other side where you'll be with me forever. Pray with me. Would you do that right now? Father God, I thank you for the arrows of heaven, the one-liners from heaven. God, may we be a people that put on the shield of faith and extinguish the flaming missiles and arrows of the enemy, the one-liners from hell. And may we yield the sword and pull out our own bow and arrow and speak with authority on the one-liners of heaven, the one-liners of your word. Lord, we don't have to make this about a dissertation. We don't have to make it difficult. We don't have to put it in a box. It's just, God, come and let us speak the word in one-line fashion. God, I pray that for our people. I pray that for you today. I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that your Holy Spirit would come and take this word and encourage us to be prayer warriors with one-liners from heaven, one-liners from our heart. I pray these things, Lord, in the strong name of Jesus. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. I'm so glad that you're here today. So grateful. Just want to ask, how's God spoken to you today? What are the things that you need to be arranging in your life, in your thought life, and in your word life, your prayer life? I pray that these one-liner words will penetrate your heart as you open the scripture and you look for them and you circle them. You do it all the time. You circle that phrase. You circle that word. They're your one-liners from heaven. And then you pray those one-liners from heaven. I pray that for you, and then I pray for me. Hey, stand where you are, and let's ask God to bless us, okay? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, lift up his countenance towards you, and give you peace right now, right here, right where you are, right now, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hey, we'll see you Wednesday night at 7. Wednesday night at 7. Thank you. God bless you.